Good afternoon, family. Good afternoon, family. Hi, my name is Deb H., and I'm from Folsom, California. And I'm just really excited to be here. When I got the email from WSO saying that they wanted me to lead a workshop, I was like a little kid waiting to go to Disneyland. I get to be of service in this way. I want to be of service, but this is just fantastic. And this, the topic of this workshop is right on time for me. I'm going to ask you to turn off your cell phones or any electronic devices that go beep, ring, or vibrate, please. Thank you. Can we have a moment of silence? And let's say the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, I'm going to read this preamble to the 12 steps. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family disease and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help the families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps and by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. And now our statement of anonymity. There may be some who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. If so, we respectfully ask that no Al-Anon, Alateen, or AA speaker or member be identified by full name or picture in published or broadcast report of our meeting. The assurance of anonymity is essential to our efforts to help other families of alcoholics, and our tradition of anonymity reminds us to place principles above personalities. This meeting is being recorded. Okay. This workshop will be an hour and a half or 90 minutes long. We're going to have a speaker that's going to talk to us for about 10 minutes, and then I'll open it up for group share. The topic that we have today is Al-Anon welcomes parents and grandparents. And I have to tell you that I'm so glad that Al-Anon welcomed me into the doors. Because, you know, a lot of people say my qualifier is so-and-so. I like to say that my son bought me the ticket for the dance with alcoholism. That's how I came in. I came in and tore up from the floor up. You know, this was my youngest son, the one I loved the most, you know, that went out with the disease. This is how I came to join this, what I call the secret club, because we're not known all that well. You know, this is how I came in to learn about me. And I didn't understand when I came into Al-Anon that it was about me, it wasn't about him. And when I came in the doors, you know, for a long, long time, I went over to the literature table and looked for that memo that told me how to fix my son. And I finally found out that there wasn't a memo and that it was all about me. So I'm really glad that we have parent focus, grandparent focus meetings in Al-Anon. Because when it's your spouse, you know, you can divorce them or move away or something. When it's your blood, when it's your child, it really, you know, it feels like you've been kicked in the gut. So at any rate, I'm real happy to announce that we have Jim S. from all the way from Illinois here today to speak with us. Jim?
Thank you so very much. My name is Jim, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I hail from Deer Park, Illinois, which is one of the northwest suburbs of Chicago. My home group is the Saturday Morning Serenity Seekers out in Johnsburg, Illinois. And a meeting that's very, very important to my recovery is called Living in the Solution. It's an open big book study. It's about half AA people and half Al-Anon people. And we share how the family disease of alcoholism affects all of us. Do you all believe in signs? So, I have a business card for one of the things that I do in my life, and one of the things that I do in my life is I'm an interfaith minister. And the picture on that card is a heron. And as I was preparing for this talk, I was sitting in a quiet place on the Riverwalk, looking up at the steeple from St. Joseph's Church, asking St. Joseph, a father, for help. And a heron flew into the tree above me, and I wasn't quite sure it was a heron or not. And so I sort of looked at it, but, you know, God, to make sure I got it, flew another one that I could really see into the tree across the river from me. The reason I chose a heron for my card, it says the heron represents balance, the ability to progress and evolve, to walk into deeper waters without fear. There's a piece of Al-Anon literature to the mother and father of the alcoholic. And one of the things it does is it has questions in there. And one of the questions it says is, are we supposed to stop caring what happens to our children? We talk about detachment. But are we supposed to stop caring what happens to our children? And it says, as parents in Al-Anon, we learn we don't stop caring what happens to others just because we learn to care what happens to us. Most of us can admit that we have been obsessed with the alcoholic's problems. Because we were so afraid for our children's lives, many of us neglected all our other relationships, our marriages, all our other children, our friends, and especially neglected ourselves. In Al-Anon, we try to gain a sense of balance by beginning to love ourselves too. I came to Al-Anon because of my relationship with my spouse. I was brought to my knees in Al-Anon because of my relationship with my daughter. Here's what you need to know about my daughter. She's 30 years old. She first went into treatment when she was in eighth grade. When she was 18 years old, after being in a very supportive environment for a number of years, tried to go to college, dropped out within 3 months. Three weeks ago, she was released on parole from the correctional system in Illinois. And I know she went to a halfway house because I talked to her there. And she wasn't happy. And I know that we got a call from a different halfway house, which didn't get through. So I know that, you know, she's no longer in the relative safety of the correctional system. And I know that, you know, there are survival stories of people who are heroin addicts The fact of the matter is that not all of our kids will make it. Some of them grab recovery. Some of them don't. But I do know that this program is about us making it. It's about me making it. Here's what you need to know about me. To borrow a line from my spiritual teacher, my gig is guilt. And you know, we walk into the rooms of Al-Anon, and one of the first things we learn is, I didn't cause it. Can't cure it. Can't control it. But you know, there's that little voice that, you know, from time to time says, really? And sometimes it screams louder. It says, you didn't? So that's one of the things I deal with. Another one of the things I deal with is one of my deepest core issues is that I'm not good enough. And I'm not good enough can be I'm not a good enough father. I'm not a good enough whatever. And it goes to one of my core fears. One of my core fears is that of being abandoned. Because I believe I've been abandoned in the past. Whether I have or not, the fact is I believe and feel like I've been abandoned in the past by people that I've loved. The third thing you need to know about me is that I'm a work in process. And that I am recovering. And I do feel better. And I do live a life that has happiness and joy. And one of the first things I learned, I could feel it when I could sleep at night. Those of us who are parents and grandparents, we live in fear of the call. And you know what I mean. It's the call from the police. It's the call from the hospital. It's the call about injury. It's the call about death. But we live in fear of the call. But I learned to eventually sleep at night. And how did that happen? You know, our fifth tradition tells us everything we need to know as a parent. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves. So that's the first thing we do. The entry point for me is powerlessness. It's the first step. I am absolutely powerless, and I don't remember it all the time. But I am powerless over not only the disease, I am powerless over my daughter's recovery. I'm powerless over whether she lives or dies. And if we get beyond that, then we get to the solution, and that's in the second step. And it's a spiritual solution. And I make no bones about it. My program is a spiritual program. And it's based on that second step, that a higher power, a power greater than myself, can restore me to sanity. And if we work the rest of the steps to allow that higher, to allow us to notice and allow that higher power to work in our lives, we get to step 12, and step 12 is about integrating that spirituality into our everyday lives, practicing those principles in all our affairs, including all of my affairs with my daughter. Encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives. Encourage and understand. I didn't see in there anything about enabling or doing for. My job, in part, is not to deprive my daughter of the very precious gift of desperation. I got into these rooms because of my feeling desperate. And I need to allow my daughter to have the natural consequences, not consequences that I cause, the natural consequences of her actions be a gift to her. And then there's the whole bit about what I call the detachment continuum then. You know, at first, to detach and not enable, I did it with a lot of anger. And through working the steps, slowly but surely, the anger started to melt. And, you know, we read in Courage to Change about, you know, the difference between detachment and love. And one of the stories in there talks about, you know, not just stepping over the alcoholic on the floor, but putting a blanket on them. And, you know, you can get there, but it takes time and grace. And for me, it's working the steps, in particular 6 and 7, in order to get there. And what I'm working on now in that continuum is to be able to love my daughter unconditionally again. That's the problem I've got. I went to my spiritual teacher a couple of weeks ago on retreat, and I said, you know, I can't. I can't give of myself quite that way again yet. And so then she took me back to powerlessness. Because essentially what she said was, and helped me see, you feel powerless over being abandoned again. If you fully give yourself to your daughter again, you may be abandoned again. She might not make it. And you're afraid to love that hard. And so, I know I need to concentrate on loving. I need to bring her with me mentally to each of these meetings. I need to bring her mentally with me every day. I need to pray for her every day and get out of the way. Third thing it says in the fifth tradition, welcoming and giving comfort to families. And that's about service. there is no more tangible way of demonstrating love in this world than through service. Service is meeting others who may be able to relate to me exactly where they are, and giving them the gift of being with them exactly where they are. The gift of my own experience, strength, and hope is mine. And take what you like and leave the rest. But tangible acts of love given from the heart. And if I can do that, if I can expand my heart in that way, then I believe I'll be able to expand my heart once again with regard to my daughter. I know that there are millions of people out there who have a far better chance of helping my daughter deal with her addiction than I ever will. I don't know or understand what it is like to be a heroin addict. I do know and understand what it is like to be the father of one, though. And so I can help people who are in the same shoes that I'm in. So I close saying that my daughter's life is hers, and I've learned to live a life that's full and free. And though I'm not completely there jumping up and down all the time, every once in a while I'm skipping through life. And for me, that's progress. Thanks for letting me share.
Good job, Jim. You just hit the ball out of the park as far as I'm concerned. Would you join me again in thanking Jim? Okay, so this meeting is now open for participation or group share. Would you line up along this wall and come up to the podium and speak into the mic, please? And you have 2 minutes. I'll do this when you're getting, going over time. And if you see me get out of the chair, watch out, because I'm good at controlling you. That means the hook's out.
Hi, I'm Linda. I'm from Santa Monica, and my home Al-Anon group is in La Cañada, Parents of Alcoholics. I've been a member for 14 years, and when I walked into the rooms of Al-Anon, I thought I couldn't live another minute. I knew a whole lot about alcoholism. I had been in another 12-step program for almost 19 years. And I thought I knew everything about alcoholism, and my son was taking me down for the count with his drug addiction and alcoholism. And I went crawling in there, and I opened up like I had never opened up in a group. I didn't even want to come to Al-Anon, but I was on my knees. It was death or Al-Anon. And I came to Al-Anon, and I tell you, my life has changed in the most amazing way. My son is still practicing the disease. He was 14 when I came here. He's 28 now. And I have a life of my own. My life was all wrapped around him, and he was taking me down the count, and I did all the don'ts. I don't know if you read the do's and don'ts in your meetings, but we do, and I did all the don'ts. And now I live the do's. And Al-Anon gave me a life beyond my wildest imagination, I detached from my son. He has, at one point, was living in the streets and was shooting methamphetamines 24/7 and sores all over his body. I mean, it was just a disaster. And you know what, through a meditation, I found that I could live if he died, and I never thought I could live if he died. And then he went into alcoholism from the methamphetamines, and now he's a pot smoker 24/7, and he's a nutcase, you know, and he's my son, but, you know, it doesn't matter what he does or doesn't do. I love him. It's his path. This is my path, you know, and I am so grateful to Al-Anon for the gift of life that it's given me, you know, and thank you. Thank you.
I'm Patty. I'm from South Carolina, and I am a double winner. A week before the conference, which I have been planning to come to for about a year, making all the arrangements and everything and the excitement building up, my oldest daughter overdosed on Tylenol, trying to kill herself. If any of you don't know, Tylenol is the worst thing you can take, and it will kill you. She ended up in the hospital, demanding pain medication, and she is an addict. And I had to let her go and keep my plans to come to San Antonio, because there's people out here that can help her a lot more than me. I also have a daughter who's been in prison 16 times. She's a heroin addict. And I have been dealing with her since she was 11 years old. I've had to let her go. And she became a stripper. And along with stripping comes drugs. So she began to shoot up again. Oh, I failed to mention I've had her in 8 treatment centers also. The day we left for San Antonio, I got the first call from her. I need help. I can't do this anymore. I called my friends from AA because I'm in San Antonio. And they handled it. She's going to treatment because she wants sobriety, not me. How that turns out, I don't know. But there is hope. And I relate it to your talk. And I thank you.
Hi, my name is Joe, and I'm from Anaheim, California. And I was hoping when I came over here to share, I would share right away, not standing out there like a lineup being identified. That's nervous standing over there. I'm a double winner also. I have 22 years on the other program, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon for 17 years, and I don't know nothing. I'm serious about that. And Jim, thank you for your sharing. I heard something you said today. I've been going to meetings, and I hear what I hear. That's why I guess they say keep coming back, and you'll hear what you need to hear. And I heard it today, and I had to get up. I want to thank you for your story. It hit home. My daughter also got out of prison 2 years. She served 2 years. Came out, relapsed. And I kind of let go. And she started working the program, and she's a member of my other program now. And I think she's going to be okay. She'll have a year in August. But that's one of the miracles. I am a parent, a grandparent, and a great-grandparent. Yeah, tell me about it. Okay, it's not going to take long. When I was a little boy, no. It's not going to take long. Okay, I became a father when I was 16 years old. My wife was 14, and we started having kids. It was fun. It was fun having fun. But now, when we started taking care of our kids, now my older one is going to be 45 and my young one is 38. They're having kids. I have 10 grandkids. I have one living with us that's going to turn 18 for 5 years. He smokes pot and he drinks, and he tells me all the lies I used to tell my people. You know, I tell him, don't lie to me, just tell me the truth and I'll work with you, because I know when you're lying. But they think I'm an old man now, you know. I don't think I am, but he does, you know, so I'm at that place right now that I don't know the difference between detaching and loving, so I got to detach and hate him. Seriously, I share at meetings that I have 10 grandkids and 2 great-grandkids, and I don't want to see them. And I think I'm closer to 4 of them because they're from my 2 daughters. And the other 6 are from my boys, and I'm not close to the ones from my boys. My boys call me up, oh, is their birthday? Oh, happy birthday, and I run. I don't want to be around these kids. I don't know how to be around little kids. I was not around my 4 kids when I was out there. You know, so now I'm learning a new life being an Al-Anon. I don't have a sponsor, but you made me think of that today, to work the steps in Al-Anon, because I'm a sick person. I think I know it all in the other program. And I worked all the steps on the other program, and I bring them to this program, and it's way different, way different. But my mind says, no, I did it already. I don't have to do it again. This program. But today, you taught me something, that I have to do the steps here, and I have to get a sponsor here to get out of where I'm at today. You know, because I love my grandkids, but I don't want to be around them because I'm afraid to get hurt, because I've been hurt already by the other ones, you know. So I want to thank you all, and gosh, it's over. Thank you.
This is really scary for me. I'm going to do it anyway. My name is Diane, and I'm from Monterey County in California. I'm also I'm also a double winner, and I don't even know where to start. I loved your talk. And, you know, I love that there's a parents and grandparents meeting. I've never been to one, and I'm just so glad to be here with other people that are having the same experience, because it is really different. You know, I can't divorce my daughter. Either one of them, I can't. And I did pretty good coming to Al-Anon when she was out there living on the streets, and she was a meth addict and getting arrested and getting into mental institutions. And I would come to Al-Anon and I would cry and try to understand what you were saying, and I couldn't understand what you were saying, but it helped. And I got a call one night, and it wasn't the call I ever was scared about that kept me up. It wasn't the call from the hospital. It wasn't the call from the morgue or the coroner. It was a call from the jail. But it wasn't her that was hurt. She had stabbed somebody in the neck, and he barely lived. And I had never seen her like that. I had never thought that was what that call would be. And I mortgaged my house, and I got the best lawyer in town, and she miraculously got 5 years probation and was sent to a treatment center for a year, and then she started going out when she got out of there, and she was on probation, and that terrified me because she had a 9-year prison sentence hanging over her head, and I still could not detach, and I still was trying to save her, and I started coming to more meetings, and then she had a baby, and I don't know how you detach from someone that has this little baby, you know, who's now 3, and I had to get a sponsor. I had to work the steps. I'm on step 4 and 5 right now, and I have to go to Al-Anon all the time because I'm so terrified for this child who's in her custody alone. And she stays sober for a little while, and then she brings me the baby, and she goes out again. And that's sort of our pattern. And I do detach from her with hate. I love that somebody said that, because I don't know how to detach from her with love. And I've learned that I'm powerless. I have learned that. Thank you so much for letting me know that. Thank you for telling me that over and over and over and over again until at night I can pray for both of them and go to sleep a little bit. And I can wake up in the morning and pray for them and go to work, and I can feel a little bit of peace and a little bit of serenity. Thank you so much for that.
Hi, everybody. My name is Julian. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. My home group is the Saturday Parents Al-Anon meeting in Mill Valley, California. I'm a little nervous up here today. I talk a lot in the other program, but not much in these rooms. And I got associated with Al-Anon more than 30 years ago. My sobriety in AA goes back a little over 31 years. And the thing for me is, although I intellectually and physically have been involved with Al-Anon and Alateen over many of those years, my first sponsor had a family with a black belt Al-Anon for a wife and three Alateens, four children. And they made me be the Alateen sponsor of the downtown Arlington group. And later on in Northern California, I was associated with all of you people, and I thought it was just wonderful that this program you guys had for yourself. But I hadn't made that emotional and spiritual connection. But my higher power was waiting, I think, for me to be ready for that. When my wife and I had 10 and 9 years respectively, we were blessed with a beautiful young daughter. And we celebrated that first year because we figured that the cycle of violence and abuse and dysfunction in the households we'd grown up in that had been passed down generation to generation had been broken. We're now free from that. And our daughter would not need to grow up in a place like that. She would be doing her homework, and she did, in the second row of an AA meeting. And all of her aunts and uncles would be people who had higher powers and who practiced the 12 steps in all of their affairs. But I didn't get the genetic component of this disease. Although she's 20 years old now, for the last 6 years she's been trying to kill herself with drugs and alcohol. And somehow that wasn't in my plan for her. I hadn't planned on that. And, I grew a lot my first 3, 4, 5 years in the other program. I changed so much, and I worked so hard at that. You know, gone to so many meetings, worked the steps with so many newcomers. I just can't tell you. And I've got a higher power. But when it came to her, I couldn't give my higher power my daughter. That was the one thing I could not do. You know, I can do that with everything else, but, you know, she is mine. And I'm here to tell you about, I'm an Al-Anon member now, a little over 2 years. And I say that I went to Al-Anon for the same reason I went to the other program, and that was because I thought I was going to die imminently, not mentally or spiritually or any other way. It occurred to me that all these medical problems I've been having for the previous 5 years might have something to do with the fact that I couldn't give my higher power my daughter. And in the middle of a huge uproar in our house, yet another relapse or whatever it was, I felt my heart once again go into atrial fibrillation. I didn't like being at the hospital with the paddles on getting shocked before. And it occurred to me that maybe I had some more work to do. And I sat down that day, and the surrender to Al-Anon would consist of these words: I can't do this anymore. And, you know, with all of my pride and big shot AA stuff, I went to the Parents Al-Anon meeting and turned myself in. I'm a squirrely Al-Anon newcomer. I got a non-dual member sponsor who could care less how long I've been sober, and I asked them to help me through the steps. You know, I'm here today. I couldn't be more grateful, to all of you people here in Al-Anon. You know, AA saved my life a long time ago. My life is built on that foundation. And now you guys, have given me a new start in life. I believe we changed the dynamic that her disease dances on. And today, she ought to be getting out of the Saturday serendipity meeting at the Ohana Club in San Rafael, probably right about now. She's got 4 months now. And I believe with all my heart that happened because Al-Anon taught me to give her her own higher power. Thanks.
Thank you. My name is Randy, and I'm from Southern California. I made the mistake of wearing this green shirt today. I walked outside, everyone's asking me for directions, and, you know, it doesn't say anything on it. And people were asking me, and I realized, no. Anyway, thank you for the don't wear green shirts here. But I really wanted to talk a little bit. I'll tell you real briefly. I've got a son who's 31, is a heroin addict and an alcoholic, and he's in recovery today. But I wanted to say something. I know it's been alluded to. You alluded to it about parents' meetings. And I'll tell you a little something practical. I'm in Southern California, and I don't know if a lot of people here have parents' meetings where you are. If you do, we've found it to be really a wonderful thing. In Orange County, we have a number of parents' meetings, and we actually just have a brand-new grandparents' meeting of alcoholics. Grandparents, yeah, and it's a new meeting for – I have one grandchild, but he's not old enough, but – I would tell you that if you don't have parents' meetings of alcoholics, it's a really interesting and wonderful and rewarding thing, and I would encourage you to take that back to your communities. There was one large parent meeting in Costa Mesa. I don't know if anyone goes there. It was well over 100 people every meeting, and if you can imagine, that's a pretty big Al-Anon meeting to share at. And they funded, they gave us $200. They took up a collection and seeded a couple hundred dollars to start another meeting, and to pay rent and buy some literature. And that meeting has grown so much that they started another one. I was there for both. And the last meeting we were at, the parents' meeting, is now so big that we're outgrowing. We're getting 40 to, in 2 years, we're at 40 to 50 people every meeting. And just parents. And we ask in our opening statement that you limit your sharing to just problems of your children's alcoholism and probably here too. But in Southern California, we don't get that many pure alcoholics anymore. It's mostly drugs, and so we get a lot of the parents are coming in, kids that are teenagers and even people in their 20s and 30s. And drugs are a big part of their story, and we understand that. And we have now found one of our meetings is now mandatory. There's an adolescent treatment center, and there's a bunch of them in Southern California, but one of them has made our Saturday morning meeting mandatory. So we get 6 to 8 newcomers every week coming to the meeting from all over the place that are bringing their kids in. So I would just encourage you, if you don't have parents' meetings in your area, our parents' meetings have grown so rapidly, and it's been such a wonderful experience to be able to offer this message of recovery to parents, because they're really hurting. As we all know, it's a very painful thing to do. So thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sue, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon also. I'm also Julian's wife, so we're a team here today. This is our fifth international conference that we've been to. We missed one of them since we've been sober. It was a boy meets girl in AA kind of a thing when I had about 4 years. I think he had 5 years. And we've been married 26 years, and as he said, we have a 20-year-old daughter. And I got to say, from an Al-Anon standpoint, this, you know, I did a lot of work in the other program, but boy, this program has sort of rocketed us into, everybody in those programs belong. I mean, I think it's just so interchangeable. And this program, I just have to say, has really kind of, we're really digging deeper, and it has not only helped us so much with our daughter, but our relationship has gotten better. It's so much just really about looking at yourself and really being honest with yourself and seeing what is going on with you. And what I wanted to say out loud is, if any of you are relatively new being a parent and having these issues, the things that struck me when I walked into my first parents meeting in Mill Valley was when I heard them say that we were addicted to our child's potential. And that just really hit me. It was like, oh, my God, I'm definitely in the right place. And as Julian put it, you know, this was not in our plan for her, right? How's she going to go to Berkeley if she's doing this? You know, it's just – And the other thing was is that we can be happy whether or not the alcohol, you know, whether the alcoholic is drinking or not. And I felt two things when I heard that. The first thing was, oh God, yeah, that's what I want. And then immediately I felt guilty. I went, well, I can't do that. You know, she's my daughter. I can't want to be happy whether she's drinking or not. And so I just wanted to say that, that those two things, you know, when I heard those two things at that meeting, I just thought, man, if I can do that, you know, and I just want to say for anybody, it wasn't long before, it was New Year's Eve, we got a phone call that someone had heard she'd gotten arrested or whatever. You know, we went back to sleep. I mean, we talk about sleeping. And I just went, I guess this program really does work, you know. So I just figured I couldn't leave this weekend without getting up and sharing at a meeting, and this is it. And I just want to thank you all for being here. Thanks.
I'm Linda. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I thought the other green shirt was a volunteer, too. I'm just so grateful to be here. This is my first international. Well, I've been to many conventions in the other fellowship. I'm a double, triple winner. But this is the first time for me to volunteer for Al-Anon and participate in Al-Anon. You know, I came to Al-Anon for my family at one time, and it wasn't a crisis yet. I came another time to try to fix my AA group, and it wasn't a crisis yet. You know. But this time when it was my own daughter, you know, who hit a bottom through a divorce and alcohol and antidepressants, I begged my husband to find that 12 and 12 from Al-Anon. You know, at the moment, that was the only thing that was going to help me make it through tonight, taking her to the hospital and getting home. And the first three steps in it were just, you know, stop me from hyperventilating. And I went to the Al-Anon meeting. I got a sponsor, and I'm working it to the best of my ability. And that was January a year ago. And I'm so grateful to be in Al-Anon. And, you know, now the disease is in my grand, you know, well, it was then too, but now it's becoming a real issue with my grandchildren. And I've got two great grandchildren on the way. And I'm not even 60 yet, but that's the way it is in this disease. And I was able to walk into an Al-Anon meeting with my grandson calling me while I'm on the steps going in with one of those collect calls from the jail. And would you make a credit card thing, you know, to get set these cards? And I said, no. And I walked into the meeting and I said, I can't believe I was able to do that and not feel guilty. Yeah. I'd had a brother in prison for 7 years and 3 months, and that was a rough period in my life. And then he recently settled for a court settlement on a felony charge, and he left his papers in my car his mother had borrowed. And my husband's reading all these things he's agreed to do for the next 10 years. And I wanted to take a yellow highlighter and highlight everything he needed to do. But I didn't. I wanted to rush to his house and take it to him, but I didn't. Now, I did make a phone call a few days later and say, are you aware where your papers are? And I let him come and get them. And for me, that's a great amount of improvement and a whole lot less stress. And I'm just so grateful for what I have learned and what I'm going to learn and for being part of this. Thank you.
My name's Gwen. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. Home group is the Atascocita group in Humble, Texas. I came to Al-Anon in the beginning because my husband was an alcoholic. And I went for 2 years and then I got well. And I went back out again. And the way an Al-Anon goes back out again is I married another alcoholic. And so I married the first one twice. I guess that's common too. The second one, it took me a while to figure out he was an alcoholic. But then I came back in because of my son. Because you can't divorce the kids. They're there and they're your blood. And I came back in the program a little over 13 years ago. And I'm real grateful for the program. It's kept me mentally stable. And the son got well. I went to Al-Anon for a couple years, and then I got the phone call one day from him, and he said, "Mom, I'm ready." I said, "You're ready?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, have you packed your bags?" Because he stayed with the young lady, and he kept going back out with her. And I went and picked him up all the way praying, saying, "You know, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know I'm not the answer for him." And so when I got there, I picked him up and took him over to a Atascocita group. And on the way over there, he said, "Would you mind if we stopped and I got something to eat?" I said, "Yeah, I'd mind." And he said, "Well, could I get a pack of cigarettes?" And I said, "No, we're not going to stop." Because I know all about enabling. I learned that from my mother with my brother, who didn't get sober until she'd had two major strokes and couldn't enable him anymore. So I'd watched that for years, and I wasn't going to do that. I took him over there, and he went to sleep. He didn't come into the meeting. He went to sleep in the foyer. And I shared, and it was just, you know, "Oh, no. I'm going to go back out there, and they're going to expect me to do something with him." And anyway, he had talked to somebody and made a phone call to the Wheelhouse in Humble, Texas, in Deer Park, Texas. And he said, "Oh, yeah, my mom, she'll bring me over there." And I turned to the first alcoholic I saw, and I said, "Would you mind giving him a ride over there?" And they did, and he stayed there a little over a year. His belly button, my belly button birthday and his AA birthday, he came in on my belly button birthday. And he held sobriety for about 9-10 years. And, oh, man, you know, look how wonderful AA is. Look how wonderful Al-Anon is. You know, I learned how not to enable. And then he went back out, you know. But I've got another son in the meantime. And, well, anyway, the first one lived on the streets of Houston, shot up drugs, dirty water from ditches. Said it'd be easier to tell me what he didn't do than what he had done. Didn't come to my wedding when I got married to this wonderful alcoholic. Anyway, he was in sobriety. So second son comes along, and I'm working, you know, okay. So he's using drugs, drinking. And it was very easy for me to put him out of the house because I've done it once before, you know, and I know the program works. It's much easier to pray for your alcoholic child if they're not in the house with you. If they're somewhere else, you know, it's a lot easier. Anyway, so second son didn't go all the way to Houston. He lived on the streets of Humble and did stuff. Anyway, let me close with one thing. He's sober today. The other one's not. Doesn't matter. Mother's prayer of surrender. And this is what I've used. It's, "God, I turn my child over to you, that I know you love them more than I ever possibly could. And whatever they do wrong, I pray they get caught. And whatever it takes for them to come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that happen, knowing I'm praying calamity and doom and disaster on my children's head. And if they don't live to see tomorrow, I'm going to be grateful for every day that they were in my life."
Hi, I'm Ernie. I'm from Baton Rouge. I wear the blue tag. And let me see. 28 years ago, my AA sponsor, you know, told me to get the Al-Anon meetings, you know. So I tried two or three of them. No offense, but too many whiny women, you know. So fast forward to now. 3 years ago, I was like the first lady. I was looking at the Smith and Wessons because I've been putting over my daughter for 20 years. And I was standing outside of an Al-Anon meeting, fixing the store, looking through the window because the AA meeting was in the same building. I was waiting for my meeting. I don't know, something drew me in. What's the name of that meeting, Clara? What's the name? Molly Shore, or whatever. And so I get in there and save my life. AA helped me quit drinking. But AA, you know, this is my opinion. It's always, you know, what I've done in the past, this and that. I'm an old, you know, threw the Christmas tree out the window. I mean, no wonder I'm depressed. Keep thinking about that. But Al-Anon tells me what, you know, I ain't that bad of a guy, you know. People like me. The most important person that likes me is me. So I'm into Al-Anon, 6 months, and they teach me how to detach and everything. And I quit giving my daughter anything. I don't give her a nickel. Guess what? She recovers. And that's kind of mean, God. But anyway, so now I'm here at the convention, and 2 days ago in the Riverwalk. I'm sharing my story to somebody whose son just came in. And, you know, saying, yeah, my daughter's got 2.5 years recovery. Get a call yesterday morning. She relapsed. Pretty big. And my daughter, my other daughter, my good daughter, calling. And she says, Daddy, I didn't know whether to call you now or wait till you got back. I said, well, Stephanie, I'm in the middle of an international AA convention with 60,000 people. I think your timing's pretty good. So, I pulled the coat collars of 3 or 4 people and tell them the story. And then I told my roommate, I said, I ain't feeling good. I said, yeah, I am whining and everything. And I'm pulling myself up by the bootstraps. I'm handling this myself. I mean, I run 2 businesses. And I make the calls, you know. Well, that lasted about 8 hours. And I come crawling over here, and after the flag ceremony, looking for meetings, and there's none anywhere. I thought y'all had marijuana, but I didn't find anything. Then I saw 3 ladies sitting around, and I went up to them, and because I saw their green tags, and I said, man, I need help here. I mean, I got the news, and I don't know what to feel, you know. I mean, I didn't have my expectations up that high because I'm an alcoholic. I didn't even relax. Anyway, Nancy said, well, hey, you only need 2 people. Let's have a meeting. So that helped, you know. I got my stuff out and I was able to sleep. And then this morning, you know, I said, well, I'm coming over here. My roommate said, well, they got workshops over here. I said, well, I'm going to this side of the street. So anyway, here I am. Thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Hello, I'm Deborah, and I'm an Al-Anon. I've been an Al-Anon for, 27 or more. I lose track. I don't even remember how old I am, but long enough to know better. And the problems never cease, but the answers never cease as well. I have all kinds of qualifiers in my life. They just keep growing. And about the time that life starts to run smoothly, something always occurs to change that and usually brings about great growth. The latest is what everybody's been talking about. There's no point in telling my story because you all have told it. I could share something of what everyone has said so far. But I am raising my granddaughter. I haven't heard much about that except the meetings the person wearing the green shirt talked about, and I'd like to hear more about starting those meetings. I have found out that even when I think that I do not have expectations, there are expectations. You know, we have those expectations that we all have labeled, like they're going to go to Harvard and become A. Well, I don't have that, so I don't have any expectations. Well, I do have the expectation that they will be happy, joyous, and free. That's an expectation. So, I need to find out some more about what to do as a grandparent. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Nita, and I'm a grateful member of the Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Al-Anon Family Group that meets on Thursday, and the Sunday Night Parents Group. Hi. We have a son who has a problem. And my husband and I have both been in recovery for a long time, and we were trying to do what we thought was best for him for so many years. At one time, he... just his thing was to leave. I mean, he didn't say goodbye or anything. He just would walk out of an apartment and leave. And we wouldn't know where he was until he needed something, of course. And the phone would ring. And he went to Florida one time and needed money for a pair of black pants and black tennis shoes so he could work at a restaurant. So my husband sent him the money. Anyway, we never heard from him again until he was in Michigan following the Grateful Dead. And at that time, he called because he knew his tax money had come in. Well, being a good Al-Anon and you know, caring about this child, I thought, well, I'll send him just this much, and then he'll be okay, and then he'll have some money, and I'll send him some more in a little while, and more in a little while. And I was talking to my sponsor, and she said, you know, Anita, there are lots of different ways of control, and that's one of them. So I went to the Western Union office, and I said, how much is it going to cost to send this? And I sent the whole thing to him. And we didn't hear from him until he was in California. And it was quite a trip. Our daughter at that time had come home and was working at a hotel, and they had an 800 number, and she told our son, wherever you are, you can call. I just want to know if you're dead or alive. And he did, and we found out, you know, that he was alive, which we were grateful for. But anyway, he called and wanted to come home, and he sounded so bad, and my husband said, you know, let's just buy a bus ticket, and we'll pay for it here. He can get on the bus there. He'll never see the money, and then he can come home. Well, he did that, and he came home. Our daughter went to pick him up at the bus station, and she did not know who he was. He wanted to take a shower, and I'm very grateful he did before we saw him. But anyway, that was our first really heartbreaking experience with drugs and alcohol in our son. And that was not the last, of course. He did wind up in jail for a DUI in our town, and he called and wanted us to get him out. And we had learned that that was enabling, and we didn't want to do it. So we told him no, but it's just amazing to me, no matter what went on, whether he was with us and we were kicking him out or whether he's in jail and couldn't get out, he always found a way. There was always somebody who would step up and help him out. And he disappeared again, and, he didn't either. He fell in love, and they moved to Kansas. And they had a little girl in Kansas. And then about a year and a half later, they were ready for a geographic change. Okay, I'll stop real fast. But anyway, they came back to Myrtle Beach, and not long after that, they divorced. And here we are. We have this little girl who, after she gets to be about 5 years old, will call and ask us, Grandma, could you come and get me? And, you know, it just tore me apart. And I went, and I picked her up. But and today, that little girl has just graduated from high school. But our son, the last time he showed up at our door, which was about almost 6 or 7 years ago, he came in, and because he had been in AA one time and gone back out, he came in and said that he needed help, and he was going to call a place because there was a halfway house in town where he could go. And he did that. And we were very grateful that he did that. And we had just started going to the parents group. We had just started that meeting about 3 or 4 months before that. And for the first time in our lives, we were on the same page. We could talk about it, discuss it, and then make a decision together, and not have one saying, oh, I can't do it right now. But it was the best thing that we ever did, because here are all these other couples in this room sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And that gave us the hope that we could do the things that needed to be done with this son. I can tell you that it has made a difference in our lives, in our married life, in our program, and in our son's life. we have a relationship with him which we've never had before, and only through the program of AA and Al-Anon could we have that. He was
I want to remind everybody to try to keep your share to 2 minutes because we've got a whole line of folks standing up here and some of them are starting to lean.
Hi, I'm Debbie. I'm from Southern California, and I'm glad there were some others from somewhere else because California was sounding pretty screwed up. I am the mother and grandmother of, well, potential people, and I have two sons. Well, I had two sons. I have the perfect child, and I have the not-so-perfect child. And you know what? What I started to do was to ignore this perfect child because he didn't need our help, and then I put all my energy into this other one and got him even more screwed up. What I learned in program was, you know, first what I found out, I was starting to hate him. I was starting to wish he was dead. I was starting to not be happy to see him when I would see him. What you guys taught me was how to treat this person, because I got to listen to a lot of you, how to treat this person like it might be the last time I ever saw him. And that changed my whole, when I got to learn how to do that, that changed the whole dynamics of our relationship. And I started treating him like it would be the last time I ever saw him, and I felt like it would be the last time I saw him. And then one time he was on one of his geographicals, and he came home, and that feeling wasn't there anymore. And we got to have this great weekend, and everything was great. And 2 days later, we got the call from the coroner. And, you know, my worst nightmare, I thought, would kill me. And I had been in program just a mere 5 years. And I'm here 5 years after that, and I'm okay. And today, I'm getting to raise his kids. And I'm seeing the potential in one of them. And the best thing I can do, and I'm going to sound like my sponsor, and it's going to kill me, and she'll, you know, probably hear this at some point, but the best thing I can do for those children is to bring the 12 steps into our household. And today they are going to their preteen meetings, and they are getting to learn about the disease and how not to hate the people who have it, and that no matter what, we'll be okay if we practice the principles of this program. So thank you.
Hi, my name's Marge, and I can't believe I'm actually at a conference. It's just wild. I have a son. I dearly love my son. He started drinking at 15, and he wasn't like party and hardy. As soon as he started drinking, he would like get the strongest drink and go sit in a corner somewhere and drink the whole thing until he fell over. So it was that kind of a drinking. So I found Al-Anon. There wasn't a lot of programs in the 80s. I found Al-Anon, Tough Love, $500,000 in treatments, and learned to detach with love and some enabling, but tried to limit the enabling. And he got through life. In his 20s, he went off, and now he had a series of other women besides mom that enabled him. So I have grandchildren from three sets. The first one, I loved him dearly till he was three, and then everything fell apart, and I don't even know where he is. And then the next one is 18, and I just went to his graduation, and he lives on the other side of the country, and I've helped support him. And I'm back in the program. I had a career that really kept me so busy I didn't have to think about the stuff my son was doing, and lived on the fringe of it, and lived in denial. Obvious denial, chosen denial. I'm not going to think about that. And about 2.5 months ago, well, the geographic cure, the most recent one, moved to Asia. This is a high-functioning drunk, but alcoholism is progressive. So along with a little crack cocaine, a little shoot-up of something else, they're in Asia. And about in March, a phone call came, and I could hear glass smashing. I could hear children crying, the 3-year-old and the 5-year-old. And there was like a horrible fight and a big split up. And my daughter-in-law on the phone, kind of hysterical. And me saying, you have to get yourself safe. And then you've got to find a meeting in the Philippines. You've got to find a meeting in Manila. Surely there is one. So the person hasn't been to a meeting in a few years. So she got safe, and then they got back together, and I found a meeting, which really helped me because, like, 3 weeks ago, there was another big split. So my son is now in Thailand, and he took all of their paperwork, and the children are living in a slum in Manila with Labrador Retriever-sized rats in one room with 10 people. And I'm talking to embassies trying to figure out how to get them with no documentation. And I went back to Al-Anon, and it's saved me from being so despairing and wanting to die, not kill myself, just not exist anymore, just not know about this disease of alcoholism and watch the destruction of the people that I love. And I have found so much strength and so much peace, so much hope, so much sanity to take it every day, and even with the crap that's happening, to have joy, to experience moments of joy in my garden through this, harvesting my tomatoes, and deciding to come to this conference on the spur of the moment, because I live in Austin. So I just want to express the gratitude I have that this program came from someplace and that it's alive and I can go to a meeting and I know it's going to be there. And I'm blessed also on the topic of, in Austin, there's at least 5 or 6 parents' meetings, which I'd never heard of before, and they're packed, they're like this big. And it's really supportive because, you know, I could whack a husband if I had one that was really this bad in the disease. I mean, out of my life. But my son is part of my heart. So thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Sue.
I'm Sue.
And I have 2 home groups. I have one in La Cunada, California, and one in Seattle, Washington. My heart belongs in both places. All the thoughts that run through your head when you're waiting to share, and I was waiting to come to this meeting the last couple of days because this is the meeting that's dear to my heart, the meeting that parents and grandparents come and connect. And I was listening to the last person share, and I kept all these C's kept popping into my head. You know, for me, you know, we learn when we first come to Al-Anon, we can't control it, we didn't cause it, and we can't cure it. And for me, in Al-Anon, I've gained confidence, I've become competent, and I'm connected. And those are the... And I'm at this conference. And this is... I've been in Al-Anon since I was pregnant with the 26-year-old heroin addict in my life today. And how fortunate for me that I have been, because it allowed me to have a relationship with my sons, who are both addict and alcoholic, and they're in and out of recovery. This is a disease of recovery and relapse, unfortunately. And because of the Al-Anon program, I've been able to have a caring relationship with them. Like someone said, you know, that you never know if it's the last day of their life. And I witnessed that with my husband because, you know, recovery is not always the answer. My husband died on an AA outing. He was clean and sober, and he rode a motorcycle with his buddies, and he broke his neck, and he was dead. And so I raised this 10- and 13-year-old by myself, and I never really got angry, except for when they started acting out, and I was pissed at him for leaving me with these goddamn brats. And they grew up, and they're wonderful young men, and they have always been wonderful people. But this disease, I have to separate them from their disease all the time. And, you know, one of the gifts that I've received recently was, you know, this is 2010, and they text. And one of my sons, I think it was near Mother's Day, texted me, "Mom, you're such a level-headed person." And I text back, and I said, "Well, thank you, Jamie." And he texts back and he said, "And that's from the heart." And that's the gift that Al-Anon gives me today. Whether they're drinking or not, I love them. And thank you for all the love I get from you.
Hi, I'm Patrice, and I'm from Tulsa. And I've been in Al-Anon about four years. Pain is a great motivator. Before Al-Anon, I remember bailing my son out of jail, thinking that was really in his best interest. After all, he needed that job as a bartender, you know, and if he wasn't working, you know. But then it got worse and worse, and I can identify with some of the parents who said they wished their son was dead. I mean, and, you know, there's a lot of anger. I mean, at the bottom of our relationship, I remember one time he calling me a fucking bitch. And, you know, it gets so bad you really don't want to be around them. And, you know, it's just, life was too painful. And in the middle of this, my husband died, so I'm left alone with this situation. And so I joined Al-Anon because I'm hurting. And I was in there a whole year when I get the call, you know, a collect call from the Oklahoma County Jail. And, you know, I knew what it was for. I just hope he hadn't killed somebody, you know, or hurt somebody. So I call my sponsor, who, of course, is not there, so I call her sponsor. And I still was just a year in Al-Anon, and, you know, that first year is sort of, you know, you just kind of learn in the ropes. So she says, well, call Danny in AA. I thought, oh, Lord, you know, those guys from AA, he's just going to be really mean to me, you know. You know, tell me that I'll be a blooming idiot. Or, you know, I don't know what he was. And he didn't know me, and I rambled on, and I tell you, you know, we have to, AA and Al-Anon work together. And AA, he was the one who said, he says, I know it's tough, but you've got to leave him there. He says, I don't know that I could do that to my own child. He says, I don't like it when my two-year-old has a fever. But he says, that Oklahoma County Jail, I know it. It's a safe jail. Yeah. Yeah, I have to. So I stick around, of course, being the Al-Anon, and I don't know what I'm going to say when he calls, but I heard, you know, that if you stand while you're talking on the phone, you have a better sense of authority. So really, it does work. Try it someday. So he gets on the phone. He says, hi, Mom. I said, I can't bail you out. It's in your best interest. I don't do it. I didn't even get hello out. He said, Mom, I wasn't calling for that. You know, and he says, well, I says, I know. He says, will you pick me up when I get out? I said, no. It was a two-hour drive, and I couldn't believe I even said that. And so he would call me during the night, and he says, Mom, I got this orange jumpsuit. And he says, I'm facing a felony because this is his third DUI in, what, X 2 years or something. And I said, well, and he was in a PhD program at school. You know, he's in counseling, you know. Yeah. And so he's afraid he's going to get dropped out of the program. I mean, you know, go figure. So I said, well, you know, you don't have to be here. And I, so I said, that was on a Saturday or something. And so I came that Sunday to go visit him. I said, I'll come Sunday and take you out to lunch. Because it turns out his girlfriend did bail him out. But I didn't. And, you know, he got his orange jumpsuit. And his mom, my roommate, is a heroin addict. He lives under the bridge and he has 8 kids. I said, well, you know, you don't have to stay there, you know. And so when I went over there, I said, there's the name of this guy, Danny. And he says, well, will he help me? And I said, I don't know, you know. And he finally called him, and I sat there all day while he made his phone calls to his professors and his brother and different people. And you know, God is good. But God is good, and he went to the meeting, and he's just now celebrated 3 years of sobriety. And he gives me credit for saving his life. So things do get better.
Okay. Our last member to share will be the gentlewoman in green.
Hi, I'm Nancy. And I guess I'm a double winner. And I'm from Massachusetts, and yes, I do park my car in Harvard Yard. So bear with me. I'm wicked sober. Okay, I'm wicked sober, too. I'm a parent of an alcoholic. My daughter, the first time I went to Al-Anon, I was pregnant with her in 1988, and her father was a heroin addict, and that's why I went. And then he disappeared out of our lives, and I stopped going. I kind of went, didn't go, until about 6 years ago. My daughter was 15. She started with drinking and doing some drugs and getting into trouble and all this other stuff. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't. And my sponsor said, put her on her chins, go to Tough Love, and go to Al-Anon. And I knew that when I went to Al-Anon, that Al-Anon help would teach me to take better care of myself than AA did. So the minute I went to the group, I knew I was in the right place. I belong to the Hilltop Serenity Group in Norwood, Massachusetts. I have an Al-Anon sponsor. I join the group. I go to the meeting. I love Al-Anon. And, you know, when I'm at an AA meeting and I hear people insult Al-Anon, I tell them to shut up. They don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, when I was standing over there with the Al-Anons, I was thinking, I'm guilty. I'm the one, the lineup over there. You know, really nervous, and I do stand-up comedy, believe it or not. That's easier to do than this. But anyway, my daughter, you know, I ended up putting her in a program, which was really difficult for 4.5 months. And then, you know, but the bad thing about me was I really didn't believe she was an alcoholic. I really didn't think she was. And so, but she believed that it was okay with me because she wouldn't be drinking, doing drugs, and she wouldn't be getting in trouble. But a year and a half ago, she came to me and she says, I'm not going to meetings anymore, and I don't think I'm an alcoholic, and I want to drink, and I want to have fun, and I want to do all this stuff. So she started doing that. Her 21st birthday was last November, and she really started drinking a lot, and I started to see. I started to see alcoholism at its best, and I started to see her mother, who was a binge drinker, because she didn't do it all the time. And she was in college, and she got inducted into the National Honor Society. And she was doing all these really great things, and I'm going, no, maybe not, maybe not. And I kept seeing all these things, and she was fighting with me, and she was cruel to me, and she was fighting with her boyfriend. And the one thing she didn't do, she didn't drink and drive, which was a good thing, but she had her boyfriend chauffeuring her around, and they would get in a fight, and it was just a mess. June 18th, she came to me, and she says, I'm going back to AA. And all I wanted to do was jump up and go, yippee, you know, but I couldn't. I had to keep, you know, and I had to, you know, I prayed for her, and I knew that I had to separate myself from the mother and the recovering alcoholic, which was really difficult. And she's gone back. She's in a group. She's got a sponsor. She's going to a meeting every day. And I just talked to her yesterday, and she says, how you doing there, blah, 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 blah. And it was really great. And I'm just so grateful for Al-Anon and all the programs, and thanks.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I'm from Livermore, California. And we have a great, thanks, we have a great parents meeting out there as well. It's not my home group, but I go to it every Sunday religiously. Anyway, when I got into Al-Anon, I had just gotten through a divorce, and I decided before I date anyone, I was going to talk to my counselor about this guy and tell her absolutely everything about him because I needed to make sure I wasn't, you know, setting him up to fail again. And I told her everything about this guy, who, by the way, is an Al-Anon in here today. And she said, well, everything sounds okay except for one big red flag, his children. Because he had two children and he'd been divorced. And I married into this anyway, knowingly. I didn't have them. I married into it. And what I learned through being a step-parent, and I'm probably about the only step-parent in my parents' meeting, was that, number one, I could detach more easily than he could, but that I actually helped raise both these children in our house living with us full time, and that I didn't like the way that he was parenting his own children, and that I constantly inserted myself in that relationship between him and his children because I didn't like the way his children were manipulating him. I thought they were getting away with a lot of crap because he was allowing it. So I really had to take a look at that. And, you know, actually, I have to admit, it wasn't until they both left the house, not voluntarily, by the way, that the role I had played, because I always thought that they were doing the things they were doing because he was allowing it and he was enabling them. And it was really hurting our relationship. So what I learned was that I needed to step out of the way between my husband and his children because I was trying to fix it and the kids were pissed off at me and hated me and he was not particularly happy with me. And that what I learned was that he needed to have the relationship, whatever that looked like, with them without me interfering, particularly because I was the one who was the disciplinarian and the step-parent. Bad combination. I would not recommend that. And he wasn't as much of a disciplinarian. But what I learned was when I stepped out of the way, he stepped up. He didn't step up the way I thought he should have stepped up. He didn't do the things I thought he should have done. But you know what? In the end, he did the things that he needed to do, and he finally got so sick of them because I wasn't in the way interfering that he actually did something. And that was the greatest lesson I could have learned. My sponsor has three kids who are addicts, and she raised two of her grandchildren. That's one of the reasons why I picked her. So thanks a lot.
Hi, I'm Nancy, and I'm from here in San Antonio. And I go to Club 12, and we're fortunate here to have 22 Al-Anon meetings, various kinds of meetings during 1 week. So we really are blessed. Real quick, like, I just want to talk about expecting a miracle and not giving up faith and hope. I came to Al-Anon in 85 when my kid's father was, I didn't know anything about alcoholism at all, but anyway, finally went to a counselor and she said, I think you're living with an alcoholic, you don't know it. So and she said, I saw her twice, she says, go to Al-Anon, I can't help you, and I did. And long story short, children's father, I have two children, refused to get help. And so I did go through with the divorce. My two children at that time said, Mom, you got to get Dad out of the house. They were in middle school and high school. Well, the best thing I learned about in Al-Anon were the three C's. I learned that the first meeting. I had somebody that it was a big poster in our meeting room, and that I didn't cause it. I didn't can't control it, and I can't cure that. That was the greatest thing. What a concept, you know, because I thought, you know, I could do all this. Well, my son, genetically, I think, was predisposition to be an alcoholic. He was growing a little marijuana plant on his windowsill in eighth grade, and that was kind of like, you know, the beginning of all this. And he took, and then he became, and he got into alcohol. And at UT Austin, he got into cocaine and was suicidal, called his sister, who knew the son of a black belt AA member, spoke all over the nation. And he went to my son, stayed with him the whole next week, stayed with him, went to AA meetings and so on and so forth, has not had a drink, no drugs since in 18 years, last November. So I just want to say that it wasn't me that helped him. But he did know about 12-step program. He says, Mom, when you went to those Serenity meetings, he said, I think you planted a seed because my sister and I knew that you went to Al-Anon and there was such a thing. So anyway.
Hi, I'm Kathy, and I'm from South Texas. I'm from my home group is a Victoria group. They keep coming back. I have three sons. My youngest son is 20 years old. I'm not going to tell you much about him because I'm listening to your stories, and he's your kids. He's the alternative school kid. He goes to jail. He gets kicked out of college, blah, blah, blah. He's your kids that I hear. What I am going to tell you is what has worked for me. I've been in Al-Anon for only a year and 5 months, but I've learned so much in that time. The first thing I've learned is that how to set some boundaries. When he's in jail, okay, well, I'm not going to put any money on commissary. Next time, I'm not putting any money on the phone card. Just little bitty steps along the way. The second thing that I've learned, I want to say I'm very, very, very grateful for the AA and the NA program. They have helped me learn to trust them, those kind of people next door. I was the mom that would sit out because my kid was court appointed to go to those meetings, and I did not trust y'all at all. Some of y'all are y'all, but I didn't trust you. And I learned through Al-Anon that I can trust people in both sides of the program. The most freeing thing that I've learned in Al-Anon, I learned about 8 weeks ago. My son had been released from jail in January. He was going to meetings. He did go back out and relapsed. The final night before he went out, it was bad. And I'm laying in bed, and somebody else said, "You're able to sleep." And so I was sleeping. He comes in. He's bad. And I'm like, "Well, Brent, if you go out, you're going to be arrested or something's going to happen. Mom, I'm okay." So he leaves. I lay down and I pray, "Whatever your will is, God, please let it happen." Within 20 minutes, I received a phone call and he was arrested, which was the most freeing thing for me because I didn't have the guilt of what happened. Because when it's God's plan, when you're asking God to take care of it and that's what happens, there's no guilt at all. So I'm very grateful for the program, and I'm your last speaker, but this has been really good. And I love to hear about the parent meetings. We don't have those, and hopefully we will. Thank you.
Thank you. Will you all join me again in thanking Jim for his terrific share? And then I want you to give yourselves a hand for 12-stepping yourself today. Okay, would all that care to join me in closing our meeting with the Al-Anon Declaration? I just have one last thing to add. I learned this in a parents' meeting, that there are some tools that are not in our Cal-approved literature, and they're called caller ID and the answering phone. Okay? Andy, would you take us home? We're doing the Al-Anon Declaration. Me. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, let the hand of Al-Anon and Al-Ateen always be there, and let it begin with me. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, so work it because you're working. It's terrific.